Hey, what's up? Bodhi the Movie Maker here, and I am sore. What from, Bodhi? Pumping the iron? Working out? Flexing your biceps all day? Adorable. No, something far more sexy. I am sore from writing. My back hurts. My bum is sore from sitting in a chair, typing and reading all day. Why? Well, because I just sent off the final 7 pages of the book to the proofreader. It's a monumental feat, for me at least. And my body feels it. Yes, you can get sore from writing a book. I know every way that your body can hurt. From looking at a computer screen for hours and hours on end, from eye strain to back pain, to a lump in your rump. That didn't come out right. Anyways, I know what it's about. I have done this for you. Because, doggone it, I think you're gonna like this book. And I think it's gonna be worth the pain. Worth the hours, worth the typing. Anyhow, you're gonna love this episode. Gus Trauth, he's an amazing illustrator and animator. This was recorded live October 28th. It's a lot of fun. We talked Halloween. I dressed up in my Donnie Darko costume. I highly recommend you check out his podcast, A Movie Odyssey Podcast. If you haven't seen the movie that they're gonna talk about in that episode, you probably want to wait on that episode because big spoilers, but it is a lot of fun. All right, without further ado, let's get to it. I take it back. Actually, there is a tad bit further ado to do, and that is to say, part of this episode, we're doing talking about Gus's art for Northport 1999. We do a show and tell. If you want to see that art, go get exclusive access to it at the Patreon, patreon.com/Bodhi the Movie Maker. All right, here we go. Getting started. Today we are going to have Gus Trauth on. I'm going to bring him on in a second. Welcome to Northport 1999 podcast, inspired by the book with the same name, where we talk about the book and other horror-related topics. I am your host, Bodhi the Movie Maker. Excuse me if I sound out of breath. I got lost in the woods. Very Halloween. I was walking around in the woods. I literally found like a 1900s bunker in the woods made of bluestone. And I was taking videos of it. And then I saw I had like 20 minutes to get back. So I ran back. Anyways, today I'm going to be talking to my cousin, and illustrator, animator, director extraordinaire, Gus Trauth. Like I said, he's an illustrator and animator, and he's the co-owner of More Frames Animation, who've worked with such names as Adult Swim, Vice, South by Southwest, and many more, out of Erie, Pennsylvania. And he is also the co-host of a podcast called A Movie Odyssey, or A Movie Odyssey Podcast. That's always a problem with podcasts. It's a podcast called A Movie Odyssey Podcast. Anyways, every episode they discuss a different movie. It's a lot of fun. They just discussed The Lighthouse, and I really enjoyed that episode. The team and I have been really lucky to have Gus join the Northport team and make a bunch of concept illustrations for main characters and creatures in the world of Northport 1999. We're going to be doing a little show and tell of some of those later. And some of them will be new reveals, never before seen, even by the Patreon members. Gives you a little idea of what's coming up for the Patreon members, some of the gifts that will be forthcoming. He's an immense talent, and I'm glad he could take the time. I'm going to be quizzing Gus on horror and Halloween-related trivia, and he will be playing to win a prize. So, before I bring him on, for those of you who don't know, Northport 1999
is a cross between a sci-fi horror and a spy thriller set in a fictional reimagining of 1990s Duluth, Minnesota. This layered story follows a group of small town heroes who find themselves pitted against monsters, cyborgs, and mad scientists, some of which Gus has illustrated. The first book is set in October in the days leading up to Halloween. The book is currently only available on Patreon. To get access, sign up as a founding member on patreon.com/BodhiTheMovieMaker, B-O-D-H-I. The first two segments have been put out on Patreon. The third is coming. When you sign up, you not only get access to the writing, but you get credited in the back of the book as a founding member when it is published to the public. You'll also be part of the creative development of this project. Book one is written, book two and three are in process, and this project is being developed into cinema, a board game, and a video game. Now it's time to bring on the man of the hour, Gus.
What's up, man?
Hey, how are you doing?
Love that intro. That was glowing. Review of himself.
You know, hey, I can't say enough about your talent. From somebody who really can appreciate the skill of taking an idea and turning it into something visual, man, you know, you are, I admire your talent immensely.
Smoke and mirrors.
On my hey, you know, the illusion is all of it, right?
Yeah.
But, you know, some of the people listening have gotten to see some of your work in it, and it brings the story to life. So
yeah, it's just like a fun, as soon as you were just BSing with me about the book and the project and stuff, I was like, this is awesome. This is like everything I love. And I've had so many ideas of, I feel like there's no good 90s. Even right. The mid 90s didn't feel that 90s to me, that movie that came out.
But right.
Like, there's no good 90s throwback, like, you know, like a Stranger's Thing, but from the 90s, you know.
Definitive, like this was the 90s. Yeah. Yeah. Not just sort of a niche thing. And yeah, that is interesting. I mean, when I first started talking to you about this, it was like all I had to say was sci-fi horror, 90s retro vibe. And you're like, yeah. I'm in.
Well, and we also kind of were just talking about, we hadn't chatted in quite a while. And you were telling me stuff that you liked, and I was telling you stuff I liked, and it was just all the same stuff. Yeah. So whenever you give me these small descriptions of these characters to do some designs of, I'm like, I know what he wants.
Yeah, and I could tell right when I started diving into your Instagram feed. By the way, everyone listening, watching, you have to check out his Instagram. I'm going to link it in the description. It's just chock full of amazing illustrations. I could tell, like, your taste was perfect for what I have in mind. Like, yeah. You know, you got gritty realism down, you got stylistic comic book, like, passionate stylizing. You can kind of go any which way, but your balance of like the dark and the vivid imagery that would pull in kind of anyone, I felt like that was perfect.
Well, yeah, the I have this comic going on right now that I've been just slowly working on for like a year when I have free time, just to kind of keep me sharp and as a passion project. It's really fun. It's fun not to have anybody to tell you, you know, yes or no, you know what I mean? Or yeah. Like you're just sort of doing it. I'm just doing it for myself. But I was pulling a lot, like I've been using the same brush. I'm using a lot of the same techniques and stuff that I'm using for that comic. So I was locked and loaded. For you.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that is the monochrome that you got going on with that comic is what is it called again?
One Night Rental. And okay. You can find that on Webtoons and Tapas. Yeah. I would suggest Tapas just because the setup is better. You can just keep on scrolling and scrolling down and you don't have to click to the next issue, which I appreciate.
Person. It's on Instagram. You kind of like have to flip between. Oh, pages I, yeah, and some
I'm
of
really lazy and don't like save it out in square aspect ratio.
Yeah, don't. Well, I mean, for
don't get me started with Instagram, man. It's yeah. like
I put the link up.
Thing, there's no options. And yes. like the most popular app ever made, then there's no options for like different sizes, and it's insane.
Good point. Fair point. We need something created by an artist for an artist, but I mean, even just getting a little bit of the little snippets on Instagram, you can see how
the highlights on Instagram are better if you, which I feel like no one really looks at, but that shows the full comic yep. in its proper form.
You get that vertical aspect ratio.
Right.
Yeah. And I think, you know, what I see you a lot, that has a retro vibe. I mean, it's a one night rental. So, you know,
right. There's like, right. Without spoiling too much, there's sort of like an 80s thing going on, an 80s slasher thing is happening. There's also like a 90s element happening too, which
yeah,
that might be already spoiling it, but
no, I think it's great. You know, nostalgia is nostalgia. Why is it that we like to go back, you know?
I have such false nostalgia for the 70s too. Like 70s
right
cinema 60s, and stuff and yeah. the clothes and like yeah love it
yeah that probably just comes from like watching Quentin Tarantino and stuff and you know watching movies that well, give you this
a time and a place it gives yeah. like a nice vibe yeah
yeah and that's part of what I'm trying to capture with Northport, which is interesting for somebody who you know was born in the 90s. Like it's a very formative years, also very early years. So it's like, what, you know, what authority do I have over the 90s being a kid in sure. the 90s? But
yeah, but you were subconsciously soaking it in.
Yep.
More so than most, you know what I mean?
Yeah. And it's fun going through the book and figuring out, like, you know, would everyone have a cell phone at 1999 and, you know, trying to do some logistical things and then trying to figure that into the storytelling. And like, we had those Nokia brick phones back then and we were playing.
I remember
like,
in the mid 90s, your dad picked us up from the airport and he had a car phone. That right. was pretty baller. That was blowing my mind.
Yep. So those have to play a role in it. And, yeah. Yeah, it's fun the cultural and just the touchstones that you can pick up.
If this becomes a Netflix series or a movie or you know six seasons in a movie whatever right?
Mm-hmm.
The songs to pick from.
Yeah.
Some deep dive, some you know.
Yeah,
top 10 or top 100, you know,
and the lots book is already it. Yes. Well, we're going to, you know, and there's Britney Spears back then.
Sure. But, yeah.
Yeah. But in the book, there is a Dido song specifically referenced. And somebody was asking me recently, like, well, that'll be an interesting hurdle when the time comes, like, you know, and there's a few other songs.
Yeah.
Definitely mentioned in the book, and I'm just like, hey, I can write whatever I want. We'll cross that bridge when we get there.
Right. Well, it's an adaptation, you know.
Yeah. But yeah, that, you know, I actually just had a filmmaker reach out to me like, your book, this project sounds really awesome. I'm looking to, you know, to adapt something new, you know, a local indie guy in the Minnesota region. And that's really cool to hear that because that's been the day one goal, you know, like if I didn't have lockdown, it probably wouldn't have ended up being a book.
Right.
But now that I got over the hump of writing book one, I'm into the next two. And I've, you know, I'm in that phase, but I don't know if I would have really like had what it takes to write that much, you know, before the lockdown, I'd written some screenplays, you know, like feature length screenplays. So that still took a big chunk
of
time.
A lot of work,
yeah, butt in the seat. But the book was a new endeavor, 80,000 words for book one. And it ended up being that long because I just realized the original book that I wanted to do was just like, I can never finish this. So yeah. I chopped it off at a certain point. But anyhow, Well, that's, you know, we grow up watching these franchises and we see worlds that you get to play as a video game, that you get to read as a comic book, that you get to experience as a book, you know, and it has no limits. It's transmedia storytelling. And
yeah, especially when the world building is to par.
Right. And for me, that's the reason I was going to talk about this later, but it brings it up. You were talking in your last podcast episode about the lighthouse.
Yeah.
And we'll touch back on your podcast in a bit. But
sure.
The idea, the thing, I love it. I loved the movie for what it is. But movies like that, what they do is it's so open to interpretation and there's so right. much possibility of magic or mysticism or whatever that you can say, well, maybe it didn't happen at all. You know, maybe it was just somebody's dream. But not that a story world can't be built in that framework. I'm sure it can. You know, the Marvel Cinematic Universe has no rules or whatever.
Right, everybody's doing the multiverse thing now.
Right, there's magic.
Yeah.
And there's, yeah. But for me, I like it to be like speculative sci-fi. So you kind of know there's some bounds. There's physics. There's certain immutable laws of the story. That...
But you also are pushing it far enough that it is open to, you know, you could go lots of different places.
Yeah, it's the boundaries that give you like your pathways. I mean, it's got infinite growth potential, but within these certain boundaries that speak to like what I like most. Speculative sci-fi, monsters that I can believe, kind of, you know, like they don't come from a magic lamp or something. Not to disparage that, but that's just where my...
Right.
That's where the speculative sci-fi comes down. So let's do some show and tell. Let's talk about your work.
Yeah.
And I'm going to put up a few drawings and it's going to cover your face, but
that's totally fine.
Let's start with the face eater.
Yeah. That was the first one I think I did.
Yes.
I'm going to put that's basically just your, I mean, that's just your sketch that I just went over, really.
This is the only time where you basically did that. I gave you a sketch and you just like put fantastic texturing and detail over it.
And yeah, I think it was a good sketch. I didn't really think I could, I was into it, you know?
Right, it worked. Yeah, I'll put up a before and after later.
I have a lot of fancy brushes too that,
yeah. I mean, I encourage people to zoom in on this on Patreon. You get like the big pictures on Patreon and there's some grotesque level of detail and I love how you captured. I mean, you took, even though I gave you like this, it was pretty fully formed. You still took it to a whole nother level.
Yeah, there's a couple things I'm doing there. Just one, doing dramatic shadow. I'm going to forget his name. Scott Murphy. It's like a three-part name. He's a comic book artist. He always says like 70-30, 80-20 for like, you know, contrast-wise, white and black, right. Which I kind of try to stick to a little bit. Just as a nice little rule of, you know. And then you don't have to draw it too. And silhouette is really like compelling as well.
Yes.
So that's just like a quick way to kind of add something like a lot, you know.
Yeah.
But really,
yeah.
As far as like how that kind, you know, I basically traced your art, you know, and it wasn't looking at it on one monitor and drawing it, you know, like skipping that whole, because that's going to take a while, you know, and trying to sometimes with these when I'm just trying to get something to a client quick, there, you know, you don't have to like, I'm trying to prove something else, not that, like, look how good right. at drawing I am. To an extent, I am trying to do that, but not, like, all the fundamentals of, like, starting with a gesture and simple right. and building it up from that. But then it was just a lot of maybe elongating some of the arms a little bit more. And
yeah, and then shaping it. There's a lot of curvature you added to the legs and the belly.
Yeah, did some cross-hatching, lines. Which always yep. is fun. And I have a problem with, like, I just want to keep on adding lines. I'm really bad at making things simple. And I love the little stringy hair you had on it, and added some blood. And I like adding veins. I put some veins in the arms.
Mm-hmm.
That always looks creepy. And
yeah,
it's kind of one of those things. Like, that was relatively fast. I mean, that was maybe under 30 minutes, you know.
Yeah, when I got that back, I was so jazzed. It was so quick that I was like, oh my goodness.
And then you can just, like, the background is just some cool brushes that, you know, that are kind of randomized. And
right.
put a couple, some gradients over there to give it, like, some depth. And
yeah, I know. It's got a really gritty feel. So let's go to a different character. This is one people have seen before.
This one turned out pretty cool. Yeah. And it's a great, I love the Super Soaker. Filled with gasoline. Yep. Yeah, that's super fun. And the Super Soaker is such a 90s thing. Like, I think I had, like, the 100 and the Super Soaker 100 and Super Soaker 200. Like,
yep.
There's this other one that, like, you pump, like, three times and it shot out this giant glob. And it was always on, like, info commercials, and I, like, made my mom buy it for me.
That's got some connotations to it.
But yeah, it was horrible too. You're like, by the time you had three pumps, your friend was you're already completely soaked. For these, for a lot of these, again, I'm just trying to get you something quick, you know?
Yeah.
I am going on from a description that you give me. I, you know, note all those things, and I just go on Google Images and look for a cool pose that kind of calls to me. And sometimes it has nothing to do with, I don't really remember. It might have, I often look up, like, J. Crew models
because
they're in cool poses. And it's not like that pose had a kid in a hoodie or a hat or anything.
I remember I sent you, there's a few of these that I've sent you a handful of, like, reference images. Like, I like this guy's sweatshirt.
Right.
And I seem to remember there was a guy in a sweatshirt with a flare, because I knew that was important, and I wanted that stark lighting. And then
I might have just grabbed that. And then with the Super Soaker to make that look good.
Mm-hmm.
And again, I'm just grabbing and tracing, and then it's just a lot of, use the lasso tool a lot to, like, kind of reposition elements and shrink things down or whatever. And then once the lines are done, I fill the interior of the character and just add, like, a gray level. And then I'll take a black layer and do a layer of shadows. Maybe I'll do another layer of even darker shadows. Then I'll do a highlight layer. And then, you know, the effects of the bloom of the flare and stuff like that. And
right.
Yeah. Pretty simple process, really.
I would love to see it. Just knowing
where to do the, you know. And then I add some comic tone in there, that the dots, that goes a far one too.
Yeah, that is interesting how that adds a life to it. It's kind of like film grain, but
I think, paper. Well, a lot of it is, I think, once having, like, realistic lighting, like, so there's a light source coming from there.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of that is just, I'm using the lasso tool and I'm just quickly doing all these shapes, you know, and then filling them all in at once.
I would be so fascinated to just watch that. We have to get a time
review on your, set something up like that.
That's going to be awesome. So yeah, one of the things I want to say about this is I love, you know, iconic weaponry and stuff, and weapons that kind of become characters. And then I also like, there's a video game from the 90s mentioned in the book multiple times.
Zombies Ate My Neighbors.
And they have, they shoot zombies with squirt guns.
Yeah. It's like the first one you get.
Yeah. Right. So I just, that's always been stuck in there since I saw it when I was a little kid.
Yeah.
And so squirt guns filled with gasoline.
Well, they do it in, that might have been, they, zombies might have been taking that from Lost Boys, because they go and fill their squirt guns with holy water.
Oh.
Yeah. The end battle.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I did not know that. Yes. Well, something, you know.
Oh, Zombies Ate My Neighbors is like, the soundtrack is so good. The aesthetics and everything is so good.
Yeah.
It's impossible. I've tried to even
play it's like, so even hard.
State, like on like an emulator. It's impossible.
Yeah. I'm sure I play it on my Mac. It, but it's I don't know how they were hardened gamers back then. I mean, imagine playing that with coins in an arcade machine.
Or I mean, even there were you get passcodes like every so many levels, and I think like but say you get so far and you put that passcode in, you're not, if you even you get back there, you're not going to have any good like materials, and sometimes you need certain weapons to even like get past stuff. Yeah. Crazy.
Yeah. Yep. That's kind of the fun that's the 90s nostalgia for me, is like playing video games in your pajamas, like, and it was a human to human experience more than now where we play online and stuff, and it's like it's a kind of a continuation of everything digital. Like back then it was,
love it. The co-op.
Yeah. Split screen and like popcorn and we'll show another new one. This is Soren Johansson. He's one of the main trio of characters.
And this was the hardest one, that damn crossbow, trying to like find somebody holding a crossbow in a cool way. And can have the crossbow in like that, like angle, because I'd rather spend 20 minutes finding the, you know, like cobbling this character together with weird images from, you know, I'm not even saving images. I have two monitors, and I'll save the screen as on the one monitor, drop it into Photoshop, cut out what I want, delete the rest, you know, and keep on. And then I just Frankenstein together a pose basically, and then or for the sheriff, you know, that's my wife. I put her in my oversized coat. I have like a big jean jacket, and that's even big on me, so. And she's you know, not very tall, and I have a Glock, which I had her hold, like an airsoft gun, which then I just completely erased because you wanted a, you know, but it's more just for the pose, you know.
Right.
And
I wanted the silver, like 357 Magnum.
Right.
Very. And then
I just got the pose down, and she had her hair up like that in a bun. And there's a couple things I liked about how her hair was. And the dog is just like, I just grabbed a cool picture of a German Shepherd. And that, and like, you know, I had that pose in my head. You know, I told her how to pose and stuff.
Yeah, that's a really cool example of like this, the beginning to the end. I sent you some pictures of a few like characters from TV shows that are like that.
Yeah.
But yeah, you just like built that one from the ground up. So now we're going to show, here's the cyborg, which Patreon members are going to come to learn about pretty soon.
Yeah, I couldn't not think of, as soon as I thought of what you know, your description and stuff, I thought of the engineers from
French. Yeah, don't worry about it.
The alien prequel movie
from Prometheus.
Yeah, the engineers from Prometheus. I just
Oh yeah.
And
oh,
I can see the bulkiness that. And the size and stuff. And I found a cool image of that. And then, you know, I had the idea of, you know, you wanted all the kind of weapon X.
Yeah, the Weapon X ports.
And I showed you some, I think it's the cover of Ghost in the Shell, where it's skin. She's kind of like holding a gun, and you can see like kind of seams in her skin.
Yep. Kind of cyberpunkish.
I love that. Yeah.
Yeah, that was a new decision, which I did not have in mind. But the way you did it with the different shades of skin tone on other side, on each side of the seams, it goes from futuristic... It makes it go from like the futuristic cyberpunk vibe to like Frankenstein.
Right.
Because he looks Frankenstein. And a decision I did not have in mind that I think is top notch. All right.
There
so
is
I think...
an artist. His name's Travis Charest. And he's hands down my favorite comic book artist. And he has this Weapon X that he just drew like probably at like a Comic-Con, you know, that he took a picture of. But he, you know, somebody... bought it, you know, from him. It is so cool, and how he does the ports and his skin and the wires and stuff. So I wasn't looking at that directly, but that's, you know, burnt into my brain.
You take that stuff in, and it gets channeled into cool stuff.
I think that when I was younger, like before college, I was doodling all the time. I wasn't necessarily like, I didn't know, one, what I was doing. I didn't have any like fundamentals, which are really important.
Yeah.
And I wasn't ever completing anything. I think it's good to like, I was just drawing like side profiles like constantly, you know, and never finishing a full body or something. So I think any illustrators out there, I would, you know, come up with an idea, make up a false concept for a movie and like come up with the characters, or even take like give yourself a project like cartoonerizing all the Stranger Kid you know, or take something from live action to, you know, illustrated and giving it a style and, you know, stuff like that.
Yeah, don't just focus on your strengths, you know, like push all the way through the full
and vision. Fundamentals, which you can probably just look up on YouTube, are, you know, gesture drawing and drawing from life and all those things. Is super important.
Yeah, well,
and then once you learn all that stuff, you can cheat like me and just grab a pose from a thing.
Yeah, you know, the long way to do it, and then you know the quick way to do it.
Yeah.
So yeah, what is a day in the life of More Frames Animation? What do you do on a day, you know? Is there a normal day?
There isn't a normal day unless we have a project. When we have a project, it is, you know, get up. We're usually on around 9. We try to be on at the same time. We all work from home now, which is great. I love it. And we, even when we have a studio downtown, but it's just this like 2-room little office filled with computers. But I think... as far as trying to get into the zone with my like self-diagnosed ADHD, which I have to have, I'm just like, you know, my mom.
You're convinced.
Yeah, I'm convinced. But I think, you know, like, what am I going to wear today? And like getting in the car and going downtown and passing by people and saying hi and being like, oh, like, and then finally getting to my computer, and then I got to make coffee and look at YouTube for a while and be lazy. But I guess what I'm getting at is just like, I can skirt all that stuff, just get to my computer. And on top of that, when we were in the studio together, we would just type to each other on Slack, like, you know, right next to each other. So love working.
I feel you. I feel you. Yeah. It's good to,
when there's a project. You... Yeah. Just, kind of, you know, we powwow first and just talk over the, like, what's needed, and, you know, and then we assign each other projects, or, you know, so say we're doing storyboards, maybe two of us will split off and he'll take the front half and I'll take the, and then we'll go back and forth and switch ideas. And then you know, just stuff like that. And but some days whenever there's, like today, we're kind of waiting on a client for some feedback, and I worked on my comic for a little bit, and one of us is always doing something. We do these math books, which I've kind of explained to you, but there's an illustration side to it, and then there's a music video side, and so there, it's like this math, the musical. I don't want to get, it's pretty boring, but it's the money, it's the bread maker, you know, the bread and butter, but it's not like the sexy job, you know.
It's not the
Adult Swim bumper, you know, but
the vanity project that everybody mentions. No, yeah, well, I mean, yeah, you got to have the.
There's three of us at the studio that own this, own more frames, and we have, you know, some freelancers and interns, usually from Edinburgh. But if you want to intern for More Frames, send us your. Go to More Frames, or, you know, moreframes.com, contact. Yada yada yada. Send us your reel.
Find them on Instagram. You will not regret it. And I so want to figure out how to get you involved with what's going on here at Catalyst. It's going to be a whole nother discussion. But basically, my screenplay got selected to Catalyst this year, which is the world's largest episodic content festival. You know, TV, YouTube, podcasts, web stream, web series. And so that happened here, and they have this year-round institute, and now they're the sole like partner of the Television Academy for mentorships.
Wow.
Like they do, and they're global now. And all this, it has grown like exponentially since it landed here in 2019, and it had already been going for 13 years, but just different places in the country. And now they're here for good. And Duluth is blowing up. Costco just opened in Duluth today.
Like, there you go.
Yeah. So I want to figure out how to get, maybe you guys submit like a short film or something, cause they do that. And, but whatever, we'll talk about that more, but I know there's some ways to connect the two. So before we go do some lightning round trivia for anyone who's just joining us, this is the Northport 1999 podcast. I am your host, Bodhi the Movie Maker, here with Gus Trouth, illustrator, animator, and co-host of a podcast himself. To get early access to the book and get your name credited in the back of the book as a founding member when it is published, go to patreon.com/ Bodhi the Movie Maker. Bodhi is B-O-D-H-I. Why are you Bodhi the Movie Maker and you just you're publishing a book on Patreon? This doesn't make sense. You're talking about illustrations. Well, because it's always been meant to be a movie. It started out as a short film script, and then the lockdown happened.
Doing the Quentin Tarantino move.
Yeah.
It was like the novel first.
Yeah, he writes in like he writes in a way that's like good to read, you know. He does things for the benefit of the reader. And that kind of was how I did my script in the beginning. That was just because I didn't know how to write a screenplay. I subsequently learned, but in the middle.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what I'm doing either, but, you know.
As long as you keep going. Yeah. You know, not knowing how to do what you want to do is not at all a reason for inaction. And
it's like 70% passion and 30% delusion. That's what I say.
Yeah, delusion, as long as you're fueled by action, you know, that delusion becomes real. And realize. So Gus, we have this online community with Discord and a private Facebook group. You're connected to some of that.
Yeah.
And people, the founding members they choose code names / secret agent names, because as you know, Northport is part spy thriller. It's got a lot of espionage. Yeah. It's got a lot of secrets. So what do you think your code name / secret agent name might be? You don't have to tell me right now. You can get back to us.
I got it right now. Cheddar Goblin.
Okay. Cheddar Goblin.
You've like seen that. Mandy, you'll get the reference, but
I haven't. You've told me I have to.
It's incredible.
Okay. I get a sense there's something much and it's very more sinister behind.
Very
that.
90s. Well, no, it's maybe the lightest
okay
moment of the movie, but
Hey, all right, Cheddar Goblin.
You're gonna love that movie. Oh my god, it's so cool.
Yeah, I can't wait. And then I'm gonna watch your podcast listen to your podcast right after that. So instead of going and finding the note cards and the stickers, which I should have next to me, but again, I came running from the woods this time.
Yeah. It's a good excuse. I like it.
It is. So you're going to get, I already sent you some of these, but you're going to get a new sticker. You're going to get the Creature Dog sticker.
Oh, limited sweet.
Edition. Nobody yet has that. And then I'm going to also get you a card going. You're probably going to get the Cyborg because it's the most recent one you've done. So cool. We're going to make you a Cyborg card. It's going to have your code name. So that's the prize you're going to win if you win this trivia. The stakes
I'm so proud of my code name, too. Cool.
Yes.
Hell yeah.
Cheddar Goblin. Cheddar Goblin. In the seminal Halloween movie, Donnie Darko, the English teacher says the most beautiful Hell words. Lord. You beat me to
Next,
it.
Next, let's go. If you keep a movie related, I'm like gonna destroy.
Yeah, well,
yeah, I was gonna say, is your Donnie Darko costume? Okay, yeah. Yep. There you go.
I wore it yesterday, but I'm wearing it again because it is definitely top three.
Oh, it's so simple and I love the costumes everybody has in that.
Oh my god, it's definitely like one of my favorite movies of all time.
That movie blew my mind when I saw it in high school. Oh my gosh.
Yes, I watched it in middle school.
Yeah.
And you know how like impressionable you are and
oh yeah,
Mad World. And I just started watching the movie nonstop, listening to that song nonstop, and my god.
Oh, that's one of the few like that cover of it. It's so much better than the I didn't even realize that Tears for Fears did the, which there's some good Tears for Fears songs in that soundtrack too. The soundtrack to that movie too, the score.
Oh, amazing. That the movie is,
come on.
Oh, such a good movie. Anyways, needless to say, that went deep and is a big inspiration for, just evocative and just like feelings. And earlier when I was ragging,
It has nostalgia, but it's different.
Yep.
And it goes places you don't know it's gonna go. You don't know really, And the casting and direction and everything. Needle drops are awesome.
Yeah. So okay, obviously not lightning round right now. I wanted to talk about this because.
Yeah.
That movie, and the multimedia layers. Like if you ever went on their website back in the day, which I don't think is up anymore. It was like a work of art and it made no sense and it didn't lead you to a product. It was just like a puzzle. And then they also published that book about time travel. So like it was a transmedia.
Oh yeah, the old woman wrote. Yeah, that's cool. Yep. I didn't know that.
Yep. A publishing friend of mine had something to do with that, who's work with my mother. Yeah. And the other thing I wanted to say about that earlier when I was ragging on like stories that don't have bounds, Northport's speculative sci-fi. It's got rules. There are things that can happen. There's no magic. There's no like we're going back in time and the character who just died is coming back. Like, no, the stakes are real. Donnie Darko is kind of the exception. Like, it's way open for interpretation, but the way they did that.
There's enough clues kind of that like, right. Yeah. But it is one of those movies that you're going to talk with your buddies about forever. Really and rewatchable.
There's no wrong answer to that kind of movie. And but they did it in such a good way. So Ridley Scott made a horror film featuring a certain type of morph.
Xenomorph.
What type of, you got it. I was gonna say,
saw in Erie currently there's the Erie Horror Fest that's going on and I was talking with just last night Michael Bean Hicks
is and he he's also, oh Hicks Michael Bean yes
yeah he's the one he like he's the only Space Marine that survives
yep
he he's has the love interest and they were gonna that Neil Blomkamp or whatever his name is the guy the District 9 he they had like this awesome continuation of that Ripley and Hicks and Newt story that they were going to do.
Oh, in between
like,
two and three.
They were just basically going to forget. It's like how they, you know, sometimes they do this. Like they're going to forget about Alien 3, which, sorry,
David Fincher.
It sucks. Yeah. And it's such a betrayal, but it was great. He
burnt it to the ground. You know, he just came in and.
Well, what I was going to say, yeah, Michael Biehn was so cool. He was so nice. He was so easy to talk to. And he stayed around for like long Q&A. It was really cool.
Yeah. I encourage people to check out the Erie, what's it called?
Erie Horror Fest. Yeah.
Got to get that involved.
There's some cool stuff. This Friday, if anybody's around Erie, Pennsylvania, forget what's today, but you can always go online and check it out. But tomorrow there's a Sam Neill movie, which I'd never seen, from the 80s called The Possession, which is supposed to be awesome.
Mm.
And at midnight, they're showing that new, I don't know if it's French or Italian. It's called Titan or something like that. Have you seen that? It's like the girl has sex with a car or something.
I have heard.
It's supposed to be like incredible.
Titan, I mean, with an E at the end. Yeah.
I don't know.
That sounds amazing. You sold me, girl, sex with a car.
And our podcast is hosting the Q&A for a local movie that was made that you can find on Amazon Prime that More Frames did the VFX for. It's called Unearth, and a local film director. But there's some cool guy from that, you know, an actor that was in Mindhunters. Some people from like the MCU are in there. Pretty cool.
Wow.
Cool. And a classic horror icon, Adrienne Barbeau. She was in The Fog, John Carpenter's The Fog, Escape from New York, Swamp Thing. Wow. She's like a classic B actress and a total badass. She's in it too.
That's awesome.
Really good poster. With a horror movie, you're always going to get at least a good poster.
If you got somebody like Gus on your team, you're...
Well, I didn't do it.
I know. I'm just a narcissistic megalomaniac. I make everything about my Northport 1999.
That's the way to do it. Okay, next question. I'm ready.
All right. So that was just sort of the horror segment. And as you know, because Northport 1999's got horror, it's got nostalgia, it's got sci-fi. Yeah. We're going other places too. So, okay. So, 90s question. What video? I have multiple choice answers unless they just like come rapid fire.
Right.
So,
yeah.
Okay. Your 90s question. What video game was the first ever to be played in space? A, Mario Kart. B, Zombies Ate My Neighbors, or C, Tetris?
I think it's Tetris.
Ding, ding, ding.
Okay, sweet. Woo!
There you go. The non-movie trivia, and you got that one.
Also, like the nerdiest game, probably too. You know?
Yeah, yeah. Wouldn't it have been cool?
Zombies Ate My Neighbors. That would have blown my mind. Like I wanted to say that because I want it to be true, but. I'm competitive and I need to win these prizes, man.
Yeah, well, you're doing good, but you're not out of the woods yet. Stakes are high. 90s movie trivia. In the seminal 90s movie, Toy Story, what was the name of the villain? Is it A, Andy, B, Woody, or C, Sid?
Sid.
All right. You argue
that Woody kind of, but he comes, obviously he redeems himself and stuff, but.
He's kind of a great character in the
beginning.
And
also Sid's like a kid, like a teenager. Like what's wrong with his family life for him to be like that, you know?
Right. It's true. He's got some sadistic stuff going on. That dude.
Those toys he's making are awesome though. Yeah, me too. Yeah.
And. So, okay.
I have friends that actually do that. They, you know, they will make like Jubilee X-Men character from all these other, you know, separating all these toys to make like a new character and repaint them and add like scars and really
cool stuff. Kit bashing.
Yes, that's what it's called. Yeah.
Yeah, that's dope. Yeah, I mean, nowadays he'd have like a gallery exhibit of his stuff.
Right.
He's Banksy.
He did it for like total fun, like didn't show anybody. Like,
yeah. He's a tortured artist. So, yeah. Wow. Okay.
A lot of those came out of Edinburgh for sure. That's where I went.
So, this is interesting. What was on his iconic t-shirt?
Skull.
Yes. Isn't there also a skull on Zane, the guy in Zombies Ate My Neighbors?
Yes. Yeah, it's just like a black t-shirt with a white skull. I wonder if there's a...
So, interestingly enough, you know the skateboard company, I think it's like Zero or something, they had that same exact logo. So,
yeah, my friend, just the skull, yeah.
Yeah, my friend in high school, Ben Stanton, his dad, Andrew Stanton, wrote and directed Toy Story, and I asked him about that, and he said it... Yeah, yeah. Another anecdote about that in a second. I asked him about that skull, the skateboarding company, and that's like a copyright dispute or something. They somehow got away with it, but like it was a deal. I was like,
wow,
how do they get to do that? And then,
well, it's just like a skull, so I can. It's, you know what I mean. I get.
Yeah,
that,
but
that
it's like a
skull is very like yeah.
It's very stylized
in a certain way. Yeah.
Yeah, it's very cool. Also one of my favorite parts of that movie. Like I resonated with Sid's aesthetic. So me and Ben, we were in high school drama together, and there was this thing called the drama banquet where they like celebrate the seniors, you know, and they do plays and they imitate seniors, and he played me. And anyways, I was kind of a jokester, and the gift that he gave me at the end of the drama banquet is a hat with a penis riding a longboard that says like nuts ass dick on it.
That's incredible.
Because I rode a longboard around and
oh my god.
Yeah,
we won't die for like millions.
Yes.
It looks like something that
He's flipping you off, yeah.
I love it. It looks like something that Jonah Hill would have drawn in Superbad.
Right.
Like obsessed Jonah Hill in Superbad's like obsessed with drawing.
Yep.
Wieners.
Yeah, he was kind of perfect. Like just like we were crazy back then. Anyways, thanks again for that, Ben, if you're watching out there. So what do you know? You won Cheddar Goblin.
Love it.
All right. So those gifts, that note card, those stickers are going to be coming out to you shortly.
Fantastic.
And yeah. So how can people find a Movie Odyssey podcast?
It should be on basically any platform that, you know, podcasts are on. Spotify is my particular favorite of those, but it should be on anything, you know. And we have an email. You can email us ideas for movies or tell us how much we suck at podcasting.
No, but, I think it's fun. It's like chilling.
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
After watching a movie,
kind of just... like podcasts, I like anyways. I kind of want to be able to tune in and out, you know, while I'm doing other stuff, you know.
Yeah,
and especially but... I mean, obviously, if you like movies, just opinions probably either will. You'll agree with us or it'll really piss you off.
Yes. So speaking of which, we got to talk about you hating The Office. I
think it's Steve Carell's character. He's just so like, I've seen clips of it where it's very funny. I just have never.
He's kind of the original.
I didn't watch The Office, and I ended up watching Parks and Rec.
I fell in love
with Parks and Rec, and was sort of like, I don't know. Yeah,
well,
it just doesn't.
Leslie Knope, she's love the it, opposite. Right? She's like, they went the opposite direction with that one.
Right.
I mean,
she's so lovable. Yeah.
Yeah. Michael Scott is the narcissist that you learn to love. He's terrible, but you got to give it another try.
Like I said, there's been like, you know, on YouTube or, you know, on Instagram or something, when something pops up, I have seen clips and it is hilarious, you know.
Yeah, I was just messing with you, but don't worry. your street cred. I'm sure these people will forgive you.
Okay. Well, there's probably some other Office haters out there too that, you know,
Team Office haters. I don't know, man. It's the most successful sitcom ever. But yes, of course there are
crazy people. Just like I just have never watched it, you know.
Nah, I'm just messing with you. I heard that in your most recent podcast episode, which I really enjoyed.
He knows what I say. Yeah.
Yeah, no, it's good. It's good. And sometimes you guys drop some gems of like animator wisdom because you're all animator illustrator types. And so
yeah,
that's
Brad was my, Brad, the other host of the podcast, he's was my animation professor and in school. And now we're buds.
That's really cool. Yeah. It's a good dynamic. So, and then one last time. So moreframesanimation.com.
Yep.
And then find Gus at Instagram at Mr. Trouth, right?
It's just Mr. Trouth, T-R-A-U-T-H.
Awesome possum, man. Yeah, so once again, for anybody just tuning in, this has been another edition of the Northport 1999 podcast, inspired by the book Northport 1999. I'm your host, Bodhi the Movie Maker. To get access to the book, go to patreon.com/Bodhi the Movie Maker. Thank you so much, Gus, for taking the time.
Thank you. It was fun, man. Like, awesome. You got me on a good day. I'm not doing anything. I worked on my comic for a little bit and then started playing video games.
That's what keeps you creative, evidently.
Yeah.
You know, you got so much good stuff in your brain, and I cannot wait to share more of it with people. And I can't stress it enough. Go check out his Instagram if you want to be inspired. This guy is a master of
Thank you
imagery.
Very much.
Thanks for coming on, man.
No problem, man. It was fun.
All right, everybody, enjoy your day and have a happy Halloween.
Bye.
Bye.